Okay, just to start us off, I'd like you to discuss this question and just read these two verses as well as you discuss this question. The question is, what does it mean to you to be called to belong to God's family? I'll give you 2 minutes. Okay, I'm going to start here. What did you guys discuss?
We discussed that you feel when you're around God's people, like God's family, you feel like you belong, you can be yourself, and there's love. You feel the love around you, and there's no reason to pretend to be someone you're not. Yeah.
Thank you. Who's going to share for us in this group?
We said that that it means to us that we're protected and chosen, and we feel special because not everybody's in God's family.
Who's sharing?
So as a group, we said that called to belong to God's family is when we're put on this society, God already had a plan for us, and his plan was part of his family, and we just need to show it to the people in the family. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, guys. So basically, belonging to God's family is such an amazing thing, because we come from different families individually. So then when we come to church, when we come to fellowship with other believers in God's family, it's like a whole different ball game, because we're all called to belong, and it's different people coming together, and it's an amazing feeling, because you feel loved, you feel cared for, and you don't have to feel like, I don't belong because maybe I'm short, or maybe I'm not good enough. You always belong to God's family. Okay, so now we're just going to discuss the benefits of belonging to God's family. The first one is identity. In Ephesians 1, verse 4 to 5, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." So you will learn your true identity in Christ. So basically, when you belong to God's family, this is where identity is found. So for me, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, I was just like, I got to a point where I was like, I don't really know who I am. I don't know what I want to be. I don't know where I'm going. And I was constantly trying to find my identity in society, through my friends, trying to fit in, the clothes I wore and the slang I spoke, trying to be cool and trying to do all these things so that I can actually belong. And slowly, I started to feel like I didn't feel satisfied. At the end of the day, I never belonged. I constantly was trying to fight to belong into a place or a group that I actually just didn't belong. So then when I actually started going to youth back home, I just felt like, wow, like, they accept me for who I am. It's not like I'm trying. I didn't have to try. I didn't have to dress up all cool, or I didn't have to, like, have the best hair, nails, whatever. I didn't have to have all that. All I had to do was just go and be myself, and I was accepted by that. And then through that, me going through to youth, I actually started to discover my identity through Jesus Christ, because I was constantly looking for my identity through everything else. But the more I started going to youth, I started to learn about Jesus and who he is, and I started to learn, okay, awesome, like, this I can relate to. This I can actually, be down with. So, and for me, through that, slowly I started to grow and to understand who I was through Jesus. Okay, the second one is there'll be support and stability. In Ephesians 2, verse 19 to 22, it says, "Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So you will not walk alone. That's another good thing about belonging to God's family. Like, you're constantly going to have people supporting you, people who are there to help you. So when you come to youth or when you come to church, don't think, okay, I'm coming, listen to the word, I'm going to go home, nobody cares about me. That's not true. There are a lot of people here who actually care about you and who actually want to support you and to be there for you. So don't think, you know, church is just hear the word and I go. If you have something bothering you, if you have something that you want to discuss, you have a lot of peers here and a lot of leaders here who can actually sit down with you and talk to you about it. And the thing is, there's certain things each one of us go through that can actually help someone else. So don't shy away and say, oh no, my troubles are just my troubles. What you have gone through and what God has taken you out of can actually help someone else who's going through the same thing. So I encourage you to actually support people, support your friends, like just even looking around your table, just think about it. What can I do for my friend? What can I do to support you, to be there for you? And that's the beauty about being in God's family, there's support and stability. Okay, number three, there's value and you will grow. In Ephesians 4, verse 14 to 16, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined, held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, when you're part of God's family, you'll discover your value and you'll develop spiritual muscle. So basically, let's just think about the body for a second, right? Our body, everything works, functions. So we all need our brains so that everything works accordingly, right? So you can't say, okay, fine, if I cut my hand off and just chuck it there, is it going to work? It's not going to work. If I do the same with my leg, my ears, my eyes, if they're no longer attached to my body, they're not going to actually perform doing what it actually needs to do. So when you're part of God's family, you actually will start to actually develop your spiritual muscle because you're starting to get the word of God, which actually makes you become stronger and stronger in your spiritual walk. And it's very difficult sometimes to, you know, just be at home, decide, ah, I'm going to do this on my own. I can kick it alone. You know, I don't need anyone else. It's very difficult because you don't have accountability. You don't have someone to encourage you when the tough time comes. Because the Bible has a lot of, you know, a lot of teachings and a lot of things that sometimes might be difficult for you to swallow and sometimes difficult for you to accept. And it's good to then go to someone and say, you know, I was reading about this the other day and I was struggling with this. Can you just help me, you know, pray about it or just understand it better? And you see, that way you're actually growing stronger and stronger spiritually because you're also now being accountable to your spiritual brothers and sisters. Okay, there's also security in God's family. You'll be cared for and people will look out for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 to 11, it says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. So, this is so beautiful, guys, to just be part of God's family. You don't understand. Like, I used to feel like I just, you know, didn't belong and nobody cared for me. And, you know, when I actually started being more dedicated to church, coming to church, fellowshipping with other believers, I slowly felt like, you know, people do care about me. Because people do ask me, like, Rose, are you okay? Like, how was your week? You know, you told me about the situation. How's that going? And, you know, that makes me feel like I'm cared for. Like, people are actually looking out for me. And, you know, and to feel that, you know, I'm never alone. Like, I'm never alone. Like, God's always there. And believers, other believers are always there for me. And for me, that encourages me to constantly come and fellowship with God's people because no matter what, even if I feel alone at home, sometimes I feel like my family doesn't get me back home. And I'm just like, okay, you don't understand me. My parents don't understand me. My siblings don't understand me. And I'm like, I feel so alone. And for me, coming to church, I'm able to like interact, you know, with other leaders and other believers. And I'm just like, I feel a sense of belonging because they understand where I'm coming from, and they also see my heart, and they know my relationship with Jesus, and they're able to help me through that as well. Okay, so you'll also become productive. You become productive by plugging into your role. In John 15, verse 4 to 5, it says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Sure, so when I read this, I was just like, oh, okay. You know, I thought it was, you know, just enough saying, oh, okay, Jesus, I give you my life, I accept you into my life, and that was it. And then when I read this verse, I was just like, okay, so I can't, that's not enough. Like, there's something more that I need to do. I need to remain in Jesus. I need to remain connected to him. And for me, the way I felt like I could remain in Jesus is by also staying accountable. So for me, staying accountable meant I needed other believers to keep me accountable. That means coming to church and, you know, speaking to other people, and they can actually also follow up on me. Rose, you know, did you do your daily devotions? You know, how was your week this week? You know, how was your relationship with God this week? And for me, that actually helps me constantly be thinking, okay, in every activity that I do in my day-to-day life, am I still remaining in Jesus? Am I still remaining on the right path? Am I practicing, you know, the fruits of the Spirit? Am I being kind? Am I practicing love? So it's all these kind of things. So by constantly reading the Word and remaining in the Word, it's important because we need to constantly be remaining in Jesus. And that way we become productive, because that way we start to produce fruit. Okay, so now that we've discussed the benefits, now, we might be asking, how do I become part of God's family? Okay, the first one is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And first, in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." So, this is a very important step when becoming part of God's family. Like, it's such a beautiful step, because now you're saying, you know, Jesus, come into my heart. I want you to be the king of my heart. And, you know, so this is the first step. And then the second step is willing to die to self. So in Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So this is willing to surrender, to allow God to his will to prevail in your life. So for me, this was something difficult for me to understand, because I thought me giving my life to Christ didn't mean now I had to kind of change who I, like the way I did things. Like, I had to kind of rethink the way I operated. And so I started to look at the way I lived and say, okay, fine. I said I gave my life to Christ. Now, what does that mean? I can no longer, you know, be doing things by my own strength, by my own power. Now, I'll be doing it by the strength of Jesus. So I will no longer be weak, because I'm strong in Christ. And I will no longer be like, you know, all these things like depression, anxiety, like stress. Like, that shouldn't be part of me, because now Christ lives in me and Christ is strong in me. So for me, I slowly started to give up my own thoughts to say, okay, fine, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I'm this, I'm that. Because now I know that, you know, Christ lives in me. And if Christ lives in me, I am strong. Okay, developing a relationship with God. Making time and putting effort in building your relationship with God. So this is important, because for you, in order for you to grow, you constantly need to be taking in God's word, basically. So just think about a baby. For a baby, you know, babies start by drinking milk, and milk, and then it gets to a point, okay, they start solids. So think about yourself, your spiritual life that way. Like, yes, you gave your life to Christ, now you're walking, you're taking baby steps, you're drinking milk, then you're going to start eating solids. And the only way you can do that is by actually reading the Word of God, because the Word of God is our food for our spirits. So if we don't read the Word of God, we're not feeding ourselves, we're actually starving ourselves. So just think about it, do the comparison in your head that, you know, if I don't read my Word, what does my spirit look like? Like, is my spirit starving? Is my spirit like on its deathbed? So it's, for me, it helps me to think about it that way, that when I don't read the word of God, I'm not feeding my spirit, and therefore I'm starving. I'm like literally starving. So the moment I actually start to read God's word every day, I'm feeding my spirit and I'm growing stronger and stronger and stronger. Okay. And the last one is willing to become a member. So, for me, like, I used to come to church and say, guys, do I really have to serve? Do I really kind of, you know, be plugged in? And my mom constantly used to push me to say, Rose, you need to serve. You need to be part of, you know, God's family. You need to do something. And I was like, okay. So I started thinking, how do I do that? How do I actually do that? So then the first thing was to join small groups. So we all constantly, right now, we're part of a small group. So that's one way, because you're being plugged in. So now you're being accountable to the people who you're surrounded by. And for me, and then I was starting to think, okay, fine, Rose, I'm part of a small group. Now what? Like, now what? So I started saying to myself, okay, what gifts do I have? What gifts do I have that God has given me that I can actually use to serve or to contribute to God's family? So then I also started thinking about the body. Like we spoke about the body earlier, is we all need our hands, obviously, to eat, right? To clean ourselves, to, you know, get ready. We need our legs to walk, right? We need our eyes to see. We need our mouth to speak. So I started thinking about myself that way in God's family, in God's church. And I said, okay, fine. If I don't play my part in God's family, the body is not whole. The body needs to be whole in order for the body to work as a whole. So for me, I was like, okay, fine, God, I want to get plugged in. I want you to use me, to use my gifts so that I can actually contribute to your family so that it works as a whole. So then I started serving in the youth ministry. So I was like, okay, I can do this. This is where I felt, you know, God was actually calling me to serve. And the more I became part of it and the more I served, I started to feel like I was belonging. I actually started to feel like everything was starting to fall into place, because now I'm contributing to God's family. So for me, this was important. It was an important step, because now I feel like I have a purpose. I'm not just here for nothing. So that really helped me. So I'd like you guys to discuss these questions. The first one is, do you feel like you're a part of God's family? If so, why? If not, why? The second question is, what gifts do you have that can be used in God's family, church? And three, amongst your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who are you looking out for and who's looking out for you? I'll give you 10 minutes. Awesome. Okay, so just to wrap up, so the benefits of belonging to God's family is identity in Christ, support and stability, value and growth, security and productivity. So I'd just like us to bow our heads. So there might be some of you who actually don't have a relationship with Jesus, and you'd actually want to have a relationship with Jesus. I'd like you to put up your hands and the leaders will pray for you. And the second group of people that I'd like us to pray for is, if you feel like you're distant from God and you feel like you want to reconnect to God, and you feel like, you know, you're struggling with that, would also like to pray for you. And the third group of people is, would like to just pray with you if you struggle and don't know, like, what your gift is, and you actually want to discover your gift so that you can be able to contribute to God's family. Also pray for that. So if that's you, at the end, I'm going to ask if the leaders can come up to the front, and please come up and we'll pray for you if that's you. And yeah, awesome. Okay, awesome. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, we just thank you for the good work you're doing in our hearts. We thank you, God, that, you know, we're called to belong, that we can belong to your family, Father God, that, you know, we're not strangers and we're not outcasts, Father God, that we can actually belong to your family, Father God, and that we find our identity in you. We thank you that, you know, you've accepted us, Father God, as your sons and daughters. Father God, I just pray for these teens. I pray, Father God, that, you know, when life gets tough, that they remember they have a family, Father God, that, you know, they have people that love them and support them, Father God, that they're not alone on this walk. And I just pray, Father God, for the teens who might be struggling in terms of their relationship with you, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that, you know, you help them, Father God, with their relationship with you, and just walk with them, Father God. And I pray, Father God, you give them the confidence, Father God, to speak up, Father God, so that they can get help from other believers, Father God. We just thank you for the good work you're doing in our hearts. We thank you, Father God, that, you know, thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy, Father God. And thank you for your kindness, Father God, that, you know, you're willing, Father God, to just have a relationship with us, that you want to reunite with us, Father God. We thank you for that, Father God, and I just pray that you be with these teens as they go through their weeks, Father God, and I pray that, you know, they're stronger, they get stronger and stronger in you, Father God, in everything they do, Father God, and I pray that your word comes alive in their lives, Father God, that it's not just words, but it's something that they can hold on to, Father God, and live by, Father God. We thank you, Lord, and we bless your name. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray, amen. Okay, so they're going to be daily devotions throughout the week. And next week, we are doing Called to Become. So please come, guys. It's going to be awesome. So have a good week, guys. Cheers.